Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
My name is Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone, deep within the vortex of the information revolution, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. And I am sure that it is no shock to you that I'm going to open with the Manchester Massacre. And I'm going to ask you Americans right off the bat, do you want to live in fear of going out in public to a concert, a show, a night out to dinner? And do you want that nagging feeling in the back of your mind that at any time you and your family can be blown to smithereens? Excuse me. This is not melodrama. This is not hyperbole. This is not drama. This is reality. This is reality. And I don't really care what any of you think, that this is just, you know, it's just a select few. A vast minority of these people are carrying this out. What are the odds? What are the odds? Well, people in San Bernardino felt the same way. People at that homosexual nightclub, I forgot the name, that's why I keep saying it, The Pulse, I think, in Florida. Well, they felt the same way. People in Paris, how about the people at Bastille Day? You know, they just, hey, going out tonight, gonna enjoy myself. Yeah, it's cool. And then, boom! Just like that. And people will say to me, well, Michael B., you're living in fear. You're being afraid. The chances of that are a million to one. And don't even think about those things. And they won't happen. Well, that may be true. That may be true that if I don't submerge myself into this, if I don't live in fear of them, maybe nothing won't happen to me. But millions of other people don't think that way. And the perpetrators of this don't think that way. I mean, this has been going on for 1,400 years. It's not an accident. And I know that the libertarians out there and even like David Knight of Infowars.com, who I greatly admire. Matter of fact, he's my favorite. I love when he hosts the show, because he's got great topics about private property and individual liberties, and I think he's awesome. And there is some validity when he says that, well, you know, if we didn't blow up their countries, they wouldn't be attacking us. Well, again, I'm going to read off to you from the religionofpeace.com terrorist attacks from the last several days And these attacks are taking place in Muslim countries that have been Muslim for hundreds of years, if not, 1,400 years since it started. They're blowing each other up. They're hanging, stoning, beheading, lighting on fire their own people. That has nothing to do with American imperialism. Sure. Do they have an axe to grind? Sure. Are they unhappy that our military is occupying their country, as we would be unhappy with any foreign military occupying the United States? Sure. And would they be justified in attacking our American troops and our American bases in defense of their territory? Yeah, that argument can be made, sure. But how does American imperialism justify blowing people up at a rock concert? How does American imperialism justify beheading two homosexual men for having sex in Indonesia? We're not in Indonesia, as far as I know. We don't have American troops. To my knowledge, we don't have drone strikes in Indonesia. So what is up with two guys? I mean, I don't agree with their lifestyle. It's aberrant to Jehovah. It's aberrant to Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's an admonition to God. But, you don't see Christians going around blowing people up and beheading homosexuals. We judge the behavior as wrong, but we don't condemn the people, and we don't kill them. So how does David Knight answer that question? How is it American imperialism that has sparked these people? No, they've been doing this for 1,400 years. It's just now they have the money to carry out sophisticated attacks worldwide. Well, where did the money come from? Did the money come from, countries like Saudi Arabia? Where the last 100 years, we've called them our ally, and Prescott Bush got a lot of his oil from Saudi Arabia, and Great Britain basically built the landscape of the Middle East. Lawrence of Arabia, for those that you don't know, was not Arabian. He wasn't of Arabia. He wasn't from Arabia. He was British. And he geographed much of this landscape. So then we have a president, Donald Trump, who forced the disclosure of the 28-page report on who was responsible for 9/11. Now, I know that what's in the 28-page report is a minute fraction of who the players were and whom, had what impact. But if we just go by the government narrative and the 28-page report, well, that says that Saudi Arabia financed the attack on 9/11 that killed more than 3,000 Americans. So, where's the declaration of war, President Trump? I mean, you forced the letter to be revealed, and it revealed that Saudi Arabia financed the gig. So where's the act of war? Over 3,000 Americans are dead. Still, coming up on 15 years later, mourned by their families. Children growing up without mothers and fathers. Parents grieving for their children that are dead. Where's the declaration of war? I mean, hey, Pearl Harbor was bombed. FDR declared war on Japan. The least of it. The least of it. You'd think, after it's been disclosed what they did, you'd think you would stop having business with a country like that. You'd think you'd stop, you'd freeze the accounts. You'd think you'd say, you know what, we've got our own oil and coal. No thank you, Saudi Arabia. We'll keep our stuff, we'll use our stuff, and we'll do business with, gee, I don't know, Russia? Who has massive amounts of oil reserves, and who's allied with Syria, a, for the most part, secular government, friendly to different religions, and, you know, between our reserves and our fracking and Russia, we don't need Saudi Arabia, but, you know that the game is being played. And not even just keeping business status quo. What does Donald Trump do? He signs a weapons deal to give Saudi Arabia our weapons for money. In this so-called allegiance to fight terrorism. Now, how can we honestly say that Saudi Arabia is our ally in fighting terrorism when they financed 9/11, the biggest act of terrorism ever seen in American history, if not world, if not modern world history? How is that even reasonable? How does one reconcile that? Oh, after 15 years, Saudi Arabia has seen the light, and they see it's a problem, and now they're working with us and Israel to fight terrorism? Who really believes that? And who really believes that America is fighting terrorism? How is America fighting terrorism when, as I showed last week, we allow Islamic training camps throughout this country and have no-go zones all over the United States? We're allowing Islam to grow in this country. How are we fighting terrorism? By, oh, I don't know, bombing Syrian airfields? Bombing a Syrian government convoy? I guess one could say that's fighting terrorism. I don't necessarily agree. And doesn't anyone think that by weakening Bashar Assad, we're strengthening the rebels who already have been substantiated enough that these Syrian rebels are affiliated with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, same thing, different name, and associated with terrorism? I mean, how do we reconcile all of this intellectually? And I see on Facebook, well, I trust President Trump. He's going to do the right thing. Well, the Bible says, don't put your trust in nobles. And we're not talking about people that act nobly, we're talking about the nobility, the upper class, the ruling class, the elites. Not a good idea to put your trust in those people. It's great that Donald Trump wants to lower taxes and bring jobs back into the United States, which is why I voted for him. But his foreign policy is business as usual. It has globalist agenda written all over it. It's expansion of the military all over it. It's regime change written all over it. Excuse me. What have we gained from regime change in the Middle East? I would just like one person to tell me how it's been positive, this Arab Spring thing. And you can email me at thetruthzone27 at gmail.com. And you can also go to my public Facebook page, The Truth Zone, and you can let me know. You can let me know how great this is. Donald Trump says Islam is one of the most beautiful religions in the world. Really? Well, how beautiful is it now? How beautiful has it been? 22 people were killed yesterday in Manchester, England. People going to a concert. Men, women, children. Now lying in rubble. And it didn't take long, did it? It didn't take long. ISIS claims responsibility. They're not shy about it. They said it and they're happy about it. They've also taken claim. They've also taken claim for so many attacks across Europe. And yet, we hear from the police authorities, we're not quite sure what the motive was, and we're not quite sure if the perpetrator acted alone. I mean, come on. Come on. If ISIS is readily taking claim for these massive acts of terrorism, I think they told you the motive. And they've been telling you the motive for 1400 years. Muhammad started it from day one. He went to, I believe, Mecca and Medina first. And he tried to convert the Christians and the Jews in that area, falsely stating that the Archangel Gabriel came to him and gave them all of these visions, which I showed that they were fabricated by his wife. And when the Christians and the Jews didn't buy in, he started mass killing them. He started terrorizing them. He started enslaving them. So we know the goal of ISIS. We know the goal of the fundamentalists. They're not radical. As I played last week of a Muslim imam talking to his congregation in his mosque. They're not radical. They have rationalized and they have intellectualized their thought process on what they think is good for the world. You will either submit to Allah and his messenger Muhammad, or you're dead. You're dead or you're a slave. So, we know what the motive is. It's quite clear. Now, the question has to be, how long, America, are you going to sit back and say, this is just random, not everybody feels that way, we must pray and mourn for the poor victims. You know, I love that on Facebook already. the little Manchester pictures and my prayers go out to the victims. Well, that's great. But what does that do for our future? Does that really do anything? They're gone. And the other 59, they're fighting for their life. Now it's injures 119, actually, according to the Daily Mail. So, how long do we wait? How long do we wait until we as a people take matters into our own hands? And I am not talking violence. Because I don't have to say that. Because if this continues to grow, if this continues to mount, if the population here in America with Islam, as I've shown the statistical analysis last week, if it continues to grow, war out in the streets is inevitable. I don't have to say, go do that. I don't have to. I don't have to encourage violence. It's going to happen anyway. That's the inevitability. And that could happen in my lifetime, or that could happen after I'm dead. But if this continues to grow, and our nobles continue to be sympathetic towards Islam, and as long as we have presidents dancing with Arab sheikhs and telling us that Islam is one of the world's most beautiful religions, a world war, Islam versus the rest of the world, that's inevitable. No, what I mean by when are the American people going to have enough and do something, I'm talking about not befriending these people. I'm talking about not doing business with these people. I'm talking about not selling your home to these people. I'm telling you, preserving your neighborhoods, preserving your towns, preserving your states. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about let your president know that praising Islam and selling weapons to one of the most strictest Islamic countries in the world is not okay. It's not acceptable. Excuse me. And if this kind of foreign policy is going to continue into 2020, well, I guess we have some decisions to make, don't we? And I really feel, you know, people, I think that people have forgotten. I think President Trump has forgotten who got him elected. It was not the hardcore right-wing conservatives. It was not the people that backed Ted Cruz right up to the end, and then when Ted Cruz bowed out, then those people went to Donald Trump. They were going to vote for Donald Trump anyway as a last resort to block Hillary Clinton. They were going to vote anyway. Now, yeah, would a lot have stayed home? Probably. Could it have made a difference in the election? I don't know. I think maybe the Electoral College might have still stayed the same. I can't answer that. But the people that really got Donald Trump elected were people like me that wanted an end to the establishment progression, and it was evangelical Christians that have sat out election after election after election, and Donald Trump promised them religious freedom, promised them a halt or a serious fight against Islamic terrorism, made those promises, and they came out and they voted. It was the fringe. And it was people on the left that just had enough of Hillary Clinton. And when she said she was going to destroy the coal industry, and all those emails came out, which, by the way, I still haven't seen one lawsuit filed against Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Still haven't seen it yet. Because there's no grounds to sue. Those emails, the content of those emails are true and accurate. That information goes all the way back to David Icke, who people laugh at, and it's understandable, you know. I mean, he does go way out. I mean, he does. He goes way out with the hybrid aliens and the underground reptilians. I mean, I get it. But what he wrote about the Clintons, the mind control, the abominable sex, what he wrote about LSD and MK Ultra mind control, what he wrote about the CIA, what he wrote about the Satanists and the elitists, I knew that stuff years ago. Roger Stone, Larry Nichols, Alex Jones, so many others, Michael Savage, David Horowitz, Dr. Stanley Manteeth. I knew this stuff for years, ladies and gentlemen. I just didn't know all of the particular names. I didn't know every T that was crossed and every I that was dotted. But I already knew what these people were all about. And not one lawsuit. Not one. Because if you bring this stuff to court, then people get to be deposed. The evidence gets to be documented in court. And then the gloves are off. The cloak is removed. The faces are unmasked. And then you go to town. And then people start to realize what they've been living under. And then people get to realize that Bible prophecy is being revealed. The Bible told you who is in charge of all the worldly governments. Told you that Satan is in control. And God gave control to the worldly governments. One, because Satan wanted it. And two, it's a test for us. What will we choose of our own free will? The Word of God or the material world? What will we choose? Will we choose the temporary gratification that the material world gives, or Will we remove ourselves from the wants and the cravings and the lusts that are only temporary, that are gone when we die? Or will we choose the Word of God, unify under Jesus Christ, unify under the teachings of the Apostle Paul? Will we love and respect our neighbor? Will it be a two-way street, not just a one-way street, which doesn't work? See, that's the test. And people don't have to agree. People could tell me all day long, that book, it's 2,000 years old, it's archaic, it's part of the conspiracy, it's just to control you, it's old energy, it's an old paradigm. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Because I see this new paradigm. I see this new society. I see it. Okay. We're in transition. All right. I don't know. Doesn't look like transition to me. It looks like apathy. It looks like denial. It looks like I'm going to rely on my own decision, and I'm going to rely on nobles, and I don't really need the Word of God. I don't really need to accept that from Genesis to Revelation, it's historically, geographically, archaeologically, philosophically, and spiritually accurate. And I used to watch the show, Hill Street Blues, I think. And there was an episode where it was a Jewish cop and another guy, and they were talking about, I think, because the guy was a Christian, and the Jewish guy said, "Well, you go your way, I'll go Yahweh." And to amplify that, "I'll go by the way of the cross, you go your way, and it is what it is." So, let's get into some details about this attack. So, a girl, and this is coming from the dailymail.co.uk. Girl, aged 8, is named as second victim of ISIS attack, on Manchester Arena. Suicide bomber kills 22, and who knows, injures 119. The death count, I'm sure, is going to go up. By detonating a ball-bearing bomb at packed Ariana Grande concert. At least 22 people killed after explosions rang out at the end of an Ariana Grande gig in Manchester Arena. A teenage fan and an 8-year-old primary schoolgirl are among the dead, as well as a 26-year-old man. Video footage shows thousands fleeing in tears from the venue, many covered in blood and skin. Horrifying video footage shows petrified children leaping over chairs and barriers as they tried to escape. Police confirmed the suicide bomber died at the venue using an improvised explosives device was detonated. 23-year-old Grande burst and tweeted, "Broken from the bottom of my heart. I am so sorry, I don't have words." 8-year-old Safi Ruzos, 18-year-old Georgina Callender, and 26-year-old John Atkinson were among those killed. Of the injured, 59 were taken to a hospital, of at least which 12 were children and 60 were treated at the scene. traumatized families have told how of Nuts and Bolts tore into Young Music fans when the blast was detonated in the foyer area of the Manchester Arena moments after a concert by the U.S. pop star ended. The suicide bomber was known to authorities and said to be British-born, died inside the arena, and police carried out a controlled explosion at which is believed to be his home during raids around the city today. A 23-year-old man was arrested by anti-terror officers in the south of the city as police and security services attempt to work out if the suicide bomber was part of a cell. Well, we certainly know ISIS took responsibility. So, you know, at least he must have been in some way, shape, or form affiliated with ISIS. And look, ladies and gentlemen, the guy has a Muslim name. All right? The guy has a Muslim name. And I don't recall it at this point, and I'm trying to find it in the article. But they announced who his name is. So, the guy's British-born, but he has a Muslim name, because he's obviously rooted in Arabic, and ISIS claims responsibility. So there you go, what I said at the top of the show. How is bombing airfields or government convoys fighting Islamic terrorism? The fight is in our countries, my friends. You got to clean out the vermin, Jack. You know, people love to say Trump is Hitler and Antifa, you know, anti-fascism, and you're a Nazi. Well, you know, we didn't allow Nazi no-go zones in our country in the 40s. We still took the fight and defeated Hitler. And I'm sure there were many nice German people. And I'm sure there were very nice German people that believed Hitler was right and believed in the war and blamed the Jews for all their problems. But I'm sure they were very nice people. Didn't kill anybody. Didn't hurt a fly. Ran their German bakeries. Ran their German factories. I'm sure they were nice people. But were we sympathetic to Adolf Hitler? Were we sympathetic to Nazism? Nope. We weren't sympathetic to Italy either when they were under Benito Mussolini. We took the fight and we beat them. And one has to ask the question, why aren't we doing that with Islam? Why aren't we doing that? Because we have to reconcile the fact that there is a bigger picture here. The physical acts of terrorism is just what we see at the physical level. Very few of us are seeing the bigger picture. No one, or very few, are seriously asking why are we allowing Islam to grow? Why are the Western European countries, their government leaders, allowing these people to pour in? Why? And why are so many people falling for the scam and didn't put in Marine Le Pen? You know, that's a question I think that each person has to answer individually. Why? Because I could sit here, and as I've done, and tell you why I think. And Alex Jones could do that. And we can do that on Facebook too. But I think you, as an individual person, has to ask that question, why are we accepting this? So, I'm going to conclude the show with a roll-off of the last several days of terrorist attacks, and then I'm going to close the song by Unspoken, Fight the Good Fight. That when you are at your darkest hour for your own personal reasons, don't quit. Don't give up. Let your light shine. And through faith in Jesus Christ and our Father Jehovah, we can persevere. We can fight the good fight. We can gain happiness. We can gain peace. And yes, we can have love. Mutual, respectful, deep, and honest two-way love. So, obviously we had the Manchester attacks. Yesterday we had two of them. One in Syria, one in Nigeria. 19 were killed. 65 were injured. Children are among 15 civilians picked apart by Islamic State shrapnel. So, you know, it's another IED. And the one in Nigeria, four friends are slaughtered by Boko Haram Islamists. Afghanistan, the 20th, four instances. Two in Afghanistan, one in Syria, one in Nigeria. Over 30 people killed, close to 80 injured. Islamists storm a humanitarian group's guest house, behead the guard, and murder a German woman. Two children and two women are among 19 Shiites executed in the village by the Islamic State. Five suicide bombers storm a bank, killing three inside. Islamic terrorists open fire on villagers, killing at least seven. Then you have the 19th. Oh man, the 19th was loaded. I even have to scroll down to get the page. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight acts of terrorism on the 19th. And looking at this quickly, it looks like over 60 killed and over 60 injured. And we've got suicide bombings. Women and children killed during a wedding. Rival mosques. See, this is not American imperialism. Sorry. So, well, I've overstayed my welcome. I've got 90 seconds left. So I'm going to finish with parts of that song. Unspoken, Fight the Good Fight. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central.
Stop bleeding until your heart stops kick drum beating. When it's hard times, when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes and you're feeling all alone, keep fighting the good fight. Step, giving you the next breath. I'll be the voice saying you're gonna make it. When you're out there on your own, you are near.